This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com. This week, the Lost City steals the box office, we learn more about Matt Reeves' Joker, and we are talking all about the Oscars. Hello there, everybody. This is episode 122 of From a Certain Point of View, and I am Josh.
I'm Adam.
And we're just going to get this out of the way. We are dealing with some technical difficulties, so we're going to see how this goes. Hopefully this is successful, Adam. I don't know what's going to happen here.
We'll see what happens.
We're flying by the seat of our pants. I really think this episode is going to be a big hit. Just like the Oscars.
Oh.
Was that too soon? I apologize.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to, sir? How's everything going?
Things are going okay. Haven't been up to a whole lot. Working on, kind of going back to what you said about the tech difficulties. I'm in for the last month or so, I've been in a different location than I'm used to because we're renovating the basement, so I'm still working on that, and hopefully in a couple of weeks I'll be able to move my stuff back down where it belongs. So
yeah, you're in Studio B right now.
Yeah, Studio B. Yeah.
Studio A gets renovations.
Yeah, and I can't wait to get back to Studio A. So
well, I'm looking forward to seeing the end result.
Yeah.
You have a recommendation for us.
Yeah, I do. One of my favorite bands is the Foo Fighters. And, when I think about my favorite bands, it's usually the Eagles and the Foo Fighters, those two. I'm just going to recommend you listen to some Foo Fighters or even... something else Taylor Hawkins related. We're going to talk a little bit about Taylor in a little bit. Passed away at the very unexpected young age of 50 over the weekend. So, in his memory, listen to some Foo Fighters. That's actually when I went to Cam Ray to talk about our theme song, the two things that I said to, kind of meshed together were the Foo Fighters and the Force theme from Empire Strikes Back, the Yoda theme. Now I've been around them. I've been listening to them for years and years, and got to see them live. I saw Taylor perform Queens Under Pressure when they came to Pittsburgh a number of years ago. That was on the Broken Leg tour where Dave Grohl had fallen off of a stage and broken his leg, and so they built him this wild throne that he was sitting on for most of the show so that he could still go out and tour with a broken leg. I got to see him, Taylor, perform Under Pressure, a really, really great rendition of Under Pressure that night. And it's, one of those memories that I'll have for a long time, forever. And that's it. Just listen to some Foo Fighters.
Thank you for that. I am a fan of the Foo Fighters, not as big of a fan as you are, but my heart goes out to his family and everything, and to all the fans,
His
band
wife
and everyone
kids
involved. So,
yep. Yeah. I know as far as the band goes, Dave is probably having a really hard time with this because he started this band after Kurt Cobain passed. And, he was a member of Nirvana, and I know that was hard on him, and now Taylor is kind of a brother of his, so that's they've been playing together for years, and it's got to be hard on him and Pat and the band, and of course his family too. So
definitely. So yeah, I might have to break out some Foo Fighters on Spotify this week. My recommendation, I have a couple Netflix recommendations actually, and you know how I like to make more than one. So the first one actually has your name in it, and it's called The Adam Project.
Oh,
And
is that about
that's
me?
starring Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds playing
It,
me.
it's, you know,
No.
it's up to interpretation, I guess.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But yeah, no, it's, I really enjoyed this. I think it's one of my favorite Netflix films so far. I'm a big fan of Ryan Reynolds, and it has the typical Ryan Reynolds, like, quick, I'll call it quick humor. He's just very, you know, his mouth is always running, and it's very quick humor.
Yeah, right.
And there's a kid that plays a young version of him in the movie, and he absolutely nails what you would think a young Ryan Reynolds would be. He does a great job with it. It's funny, it's a lot of fun, but it also has some heart, and it's kind of, you know, I guess I would compare it to like The Tomorrow War on Amazon
Yeah, that's still
Prime,
one I haven't watched.
but I like this one even more than that. So,
Cool.
yeah, I enjoyed it. And my other one is Bad Vegan, and this is sort of a true crime type of documentary that I always find really intriguing. And basically, this girl, I guess she's not a girl, this woman, Sarma, who created, I forget what it's called, like this pure food place in New York City that just did vegan type food, you know, and everything. And she became successful, and she meets this guy online, and they start talking, and he basically convinces her that he's like this black ops, you know, special forces type of
Wow, he
person, and he
goes all
can't
out.
tell her anything. And yeah, and like it gets really interesting because she ends up like giving him money and everything, and he says he's gonna pay it all back to her, and it just goes down this rabbit hole. So it's like four episodes. I definitely recommend it.
That sounds, first of all, you had me at true crime. Second of all,
Yeah.
that sounds like something else I watched on Netflix really recently. I think it was the Tinder Swindler, if I'm not mistaken, which was
What was it?
the Tinder Swindler, which
Oh, I
sounded,
heard about that one. I haven't
yeah,
watched
which
it
was
though.
sounded, I mean, if you liked that, it sounded pretty similar. A guy would meet girls on Tinder and then, kind of get them blown away by his lavish lifestyle, which was completely a ruse, and same type of thing, get them to wire him money and all this other stuff and just suck him dry and wild, just wild stuff. So yeah, sounds very much like what you're talking about there. You might want to check that one out.
Will do. Yeah, it sounds pretty similar. I'm like addicted to those types of shows. So,
Yeah, check it out.
will do. And that brings us to last week's one question to rule them all. On last week's episode, we had a special guest, Chantal, on our show, and that's at Selena Kyle 29, and she's part of the Scarif podcast. And we talked about Disney, and we talked about Disney in the past decade. And our question was for you out there, the audience members, has Disney exceeded your expectations in the last 10 years? Met expectations? Been below expectations or failed miserably. And
I gotta be honest, I
the
was
winning
surprised by this.
yeah the winning choice was been below expectations at 46.7%, and then exceeded expectations was 33.3%, met expectations was 20%.
It's kind of wild. I
For
wasn't expecting
me,
that.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little bit more like met expectations
Same
or
here.
above. Because for me, while I don't agree with all the decisions Disney makes about things, in terms of the content and everything, and my park experiences there, and the Marvel content, and Infinity War, Endgame, Star Wars, if you include all that in this conversation, then for me it's exceeded my expectations. But that's just me and my opinion, and we put the poll out to you. So thanks for voting if you did.
Sold out every copy. Tomorrow morning, Spider-Man, page one with a decent picture this time. Move Conway to page seven.
There's a problem with page
seven. I make it page eight and give him 10% off. Okay. I make it 5%.
That can't be done.
Get out of here!
Okay, so talking about the box office here, The Lost City ended up taking the box office, from the Batman, basically, taking the top spot. It collected 31 million domestically over the weekend, but the Batman did bring in another 20 million over the weekend to bring its domestic total to 332 million. And worldwide, it is getting close to 700 million with $672.9 million.
Nice.
So The Lost City is a movie that Brittany and I have been interested in seeing. I think it looks hilarious. I think we're gonna see it at some point. It's been getting pretty good reviews, so I am excited to see that one. So perhaps that'll be a date night coming up soon.
I'm gonna be honest, I barely knew about that movie until like a week ago. I saw a
Yeah, we've
few
been
commercials,
seeing.
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we've been seeing previews for it and stuff, and like Brittany thinks that it looked pretty funny. So, I was,
She just wants to
from
see
what I
Channing
saw of
Tatum.
it looked, it might have something to do with it. But speaking of the Batman's continued success, Matt Reeves, he talked a little bit about the Joker. That we got this deleted scene, I think it was last week, which featured his version of the Joker, and he has this whole conversation with Batman, and Batman goes to the Joker basically looking for information from him because if anybody knows the mind of a this type of person like the Riddler, it would be the Joker. And he compares this Joker to the Phantom of the Opera. He says he has a congenital disease where he can't stop smiling and it's horrific. His face is half covered through most of the film. I don't know what he means by that because, like, he wasn't really in the film. But what he says is, what if this guy from birth had this disease and he was cursed? He had this smile that people stared at, and it was grotesque and terrifying. And even as a child, people looked at him with horror. And his response was to say, okay, so a joke was played on me. And this was his nihilistic take on the world. So what are your thoughts on this version of the Joker?
It's kind of take it or leave it for me. I think the movie was better without that scene in it. So I think they made the I think Matt Reeves made the right choice by cutting that scene out. I thought it was the weirdest thing I saw around this scene was that Warner Brothers decided or DC decided, I think it was DC, they put this on their official Twitter account. They started to market the movie with that deleted scene. Like they showed a picture of the deleted scene of Batman and Joker. And I'm not like whatever, the spoilers, but whatever. It's been out for like a month now, so that's not a big deal. But they're marketing the movie with a scene that's not even in it,
In the
like.
movie,
And
yeah.
that movie's been out for a month. Like, I understand when trailers have stuff that gets cut and, things happen before the movie comes out. I get that. But the movie's been out for a month and now you're marketing your movie with a deleted scene that you can't see even if you go to the theater to see it. Like, they want you to.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Almost made me start to think maybe they'll try doing an extended cut of this in theaters to, you know, try to keep it out there a little bit longer, especially since they're doing a 45-day HBO Max window. So maybe try to keep getting some of that theater money with an extended cut that you can't see on HBO Max yet. But that's just a my own brainchild, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I'm with you. I think this movie is better without that scene in it. It was a nice treat that we got to see this kind of extended scene here, this deleted scene. But for some reason, this version of the Joker just didn't sit well with me, and I think it was, I don't know what it was exactly. I haven't put my finger on it. When asked if we could see this version of the Joker again, Reeves says there might be places where that could happen. He says he's interested in doing things in Arkham, potentially for HBO Max, so it's very possible. And that was kind of my speculation that we might see this iteration of the Joker in an HBO Max Arkham series. So I guess if we do, we'll have to get used to it. But I think it was just the grotesque nature of the character that was a little off-putting to me, and it was
Maybe, but
hard
I
for
mean,
me to
like you can't
know.
even see much of him, like, especially in the.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see little hints and pieces of him in the deleted scene, but you know, it's hard to really get an
Yeah,
appreciation
so
for it.
yeah, so we'll see if we get more of that character, maybe that version will grow on us, but time will tell. So next up, we are going to talk about we talked about this at the top of the show. Adam, do you want to talk more about the Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins that passed away at all? Are there more details you'd like to discuss about that?
Well, I mean, as far as details go, they were on tour in South America. They were in Colombia. So this actually happened in Bogota, and they were set to do a show. And the show was canceled, and they put candles on the stage for him, when everyone found out. So this news broke kind of late Friday night for us, and honestly, I had a hard time going to sleep after that because it was just so wild. Wasn't expecting it at all. There's been speculations. Everyone's talking about cause of death, and he wants to know. I mean, they haven't really said anything as far as that goes. He was having some chest pains earlier in that day, and then I guess an ambulance was called, but it was just too late. There's also reports going around of substances that were found in his blood. Whether or not that
Yeah, that was the
contributed to
latest
it,
I had heard, but yeah.
whether or not that actually contributed to it, just don't know yet. So, and I don't know if we need to know. That's a family thing. But
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point, I would suspect at some point we're probably going to hear something. At least maybe to just put some rumors to rest. But that's a family decision, and I'm not too worried about getting that. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's another surprising and shocking celebrity death in this year already, and we're only a few months into this year, and it just seems like I remember people talking about, I think it was even last year or maybe the year before, about how many deaths were happening, and among celebrities and everything, and it seems like it's even more so this year. So, just kind of wild that that's all happening.
And for me, this one stung for me, and it's not just because I love the Foo Fighters so much, but Taylor was a really great drummer, and played with a lot of great. He started with Alanis Morissette. He's played with a bunch of rock legends, kind of doing stuff with them and covers of their stuff, and and just the response from the music community, the people that I follow, was kind of emblematic of what they thought of him and his skill, because he was a very great talent. So.
Yeah, I feel like maybe this, how you're feeling about this was probably how I was feeling about Chester,
Oh yeah.
When you know, for Linkin
Sure.
Park, when he died, because yeah, that was a band that I had followed from the beginning, and that one definitely hurt. So I know what you're saying. So may he rest in peace. And we're going to talk a little bit about James Bond, which I know is another thing that is near and dear to your heart, Adam. So I think you'll have things to say about this. So there's been a James Bond competition series ordered by Amazon. And it was only, I think, like a week after Amazon's MGM acquisition was finalized, and they're already to work on a project. And so it's going to be a reality series, 007's Road to a Million. Contestants will compete for a cash prize of $1.3 million. They'll be on various locations that have been seen in previous Bond films, and they are going to have to do like physical obstacles and answering questions and things like that. So, what are your thoughts?
This is terrible.
What a terrible idea.
This is just it's just terrible. I mean, it my exact words on Twitter were, well, that didn't take long.
No, it did not.
Because now it's just, they buy MGM, now they're just gonna cash in on the 007 logo and make a reality game show out of it, which for me is not interesting in the least. So like, I don't even get the concept, like 007's Road to a Million. Like, how does it, like, it's just, it doesn't even make sense to me. It's just, don't know.
It's like they're just trying to do something with the property because they have it now,
Just
you know?
making some money back, and
Yeah.
don't love it. Don't love it at all.
No. Yeah, I can understand that. I'm not particularly excited about it either, so I'm with you.
I can make, like, for Star Wars, they've had the Jedi Temple thing, and I thought that was fine. It makes kind of sense in universe. It makes, you kind of make it, and I know they're doing some things around the Bond universe, with locations and whatever, but it just feels so cash grabby and just,
Fair enough. I was curious about your perspective being the Bond fan that you are.
There you
So,
go. Sorry.
no apology needed. Next up, it's been a minute since we heard about an update on The Last of Us, other than it had been pushed back, further. But we do have some new, like a new set photo and kind of a video of some of the action going on set there, which was nice to see just because it just made it feel like, oh, this is still happening. This this is still real. This is still something they're working on right now. And the set photo showed Pedro Pascal's Joel, Bella Ramsey's Ellie, and a couple other characters, Sam and Henry, who appeared in the first game in some pivotal scenes. And so it seems like they're maybe really trying to recreate that first game, which I'd be excited to see. And as I've said before, I think it's Craig Mazin who's behind, I think that's his name, who's behind this series, and he did Chernobyl, and I'm currently rewatching Chernobyl. And man, he just did such a fantastic job with that series. And I thought it was timely because, it deals with Ukraine and everything. And so it was time for me to revisit it. And I'm excited to see what he can bring to this series and to bringing The Last of Us to the television screen. So yeah, I'm definitely excited. And I don't know if anywhere on here it says when it's supposed to be coming. I'm not seeing that, but I'm not sure. So whenever it does, though, I will certainly watch it. But we're going to move on to some video game news. The first one is video game related because Star Wars Galaxy's Edge has a new lightsaber, and this was voted on by fans, actually. And this is Cal Kestis's lightsaber, from Jedi Fallen Order, which I am really excited about because I am going to Galaxy's Edge in a couple
Oh, you're
months.
gonna get one.
And I think this is the one that I'm going to get. I was trying to figure out, okay, what lightsaber do I want?
It's a
Next,
pretty cool
I have
saber.
the, yeah, like this might be the one that I get, and I'm very excited. So we got to look at Yeah.
I would not begrudge that choice at all. That's a really nice saber.
Yeah, I mean, and I already have a blue blade. And with Cal, I feel like it could be any
anything.
Color though,
yeah,
too,
it
because
really could be anything.
In the video game, you know, I tell you what, if they had like an orange lightsaber blade, I'd get that.
Oh yeah,
because I love playing with the orange in the game. Yeah,
that was my main
lightsaber
too.
Just
orange
looks
was
awesome.
My main, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So very excited about that, and might have to drop a couple $100 on that. But last for the news this week, we have a new Ghostbusters video game, Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. And so have you seen anything about this game, Adam?
A little bit. It seems like kind of a mix of almost like Among Us and like a Dead by Daylight, you know, kind of. It sounded like a five-person party, and four were Ghostbusters, one was a ghost. Ghostbusters have to try to catch the ghost, and the ghost has to try to scare the people, you know, that type of thing. So it sounds like one of those types of party games, which I think could be fun.
Yeah, that could be fun, and there's, like, various, you know, maps from places throughout the movies, I'm guessing, And it seemed like, and I don't know if, and I'm hoping this isn't all the post-credit scene of Afterlife was alluding to, because I was like, okay, this post-credit scene, is this leading to another movie? Is this leading to a Ghostbuster series? You know, is Winston back in the firehouse?
I don't think this is what it was alluding to.
This feels related to that, though. Like, when I watched the promo and, like, watched the little teaser and everything, like, it seemed like it really played into that post-credit scene. So I hope that's not all that comes from that.
Yeah, but, I'll try to ease your worries here. I think it's separate. To me, it feels more separate than that. So,
okay. Yeah, because it's kind of like in this game, it looks like the setup is, you know, Winston's training like this kind of new generation of Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's why I'm not sure. We'll see. But that is all for the news this week. And Adam, you ready to talk about the Oscars?
Yeah, slap me silly.
Okay, so I think what we really need to do is just right off the bat address the elephant that's in the room.
I was going
to
ask if we could do that.
The elephant in the room is that the fact that Encanto didn't win that best song in the Oscars.
Okay, that's not where I thought you were going.
That's actually not where I was going. Yeah, let's address the Will Smith thing, because I was watching it live, and I was stunned, absolutely stunned. I think as stunned as Chris Rock was. And I didn't know what to do with myself for the rest of the show. Like, I was just so distracted. I was like going to Twitter and checking people's reactions. I'm like, what just happened? Like, I didn't think, not for a moment did I really think it was staged, but in the back of my mind, I was like, was this somehow staged or not? I didn't think it was.
Yeah, I don't think it was either. I mean, there's some interesting theories out there about it, but I just can't see that being staged.
No, I would argue, I'm 99.9% sure.
I've gone back and forth on it a little bit, but I mean, I can't see it making sense being staged.
Yeah, because I mean, you have, like, the clearly the production behind the Oscars was trying to edit this out, and, you know, they kind of had to bleep a bunch of stuff out because Will Smith,
the American version
was
like
shouting profanities and
The American version was censored for like a good 15-20 seconds or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And then just seeing like Chris Rock's reaction, and then seeing the emotional moment Will Smith had in his speech, and then the apology that was given, because he did give kind of a formal apology today, I think, on Instagram. We're gonna look at. But here's what I want to say about it. And Adam, you can say whatever you'd like about it. What I want to say is, I'm not going to come out and say, this was the right thing to do, this was the wrong thing to do. I'm not going to say that. Everybody's going to have their take on it. Everybody's going to have their opinion on it, and whatever, that's fine. What I'm going to say is, I don't know what mindset Will Smith was in. I know that Chris Rock has made jokes about Jada before, and earlier, even on this os in this particular show for the Oscars, like there was a jab at kind of alluding to Will Smith and Jada's like open marriage, if you want to call it that. And if the joke was that one of the hosts was asking attractive males to go up on the stage, and she said something about like Jada said it's okay for Will to come up too, or or like it was like single non-married people, but and then you had the Chris Rock joke on top of that. And I don't know if he knew that or not that Jada had this condition, that it was kind of a immuno type of disease
It's
that caused hair loss.
alopecia, yeah.
So I don't know if he's aware of that or not. But that was another thing. So I'm not gonna say, Will Smith was right in doing this. I don't think violence is the answer. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to condemn him either, and I'm not going to. I don't know what was going on in that moment for him. It was an emotional moment. I've been there before myself, where even though I feel like I'm a very even keeled, emotionally stable person and a good person, there's moments that have gotten me very angry where I've said or done things that, I wouldn't normally do and I shouldn't do. And I think we're all guilty of making mistakes. So
Sure.
that's what I'm going to say about it. And I still have a lot of respect for Will Smith. I think he deserved that Best Actor award that he received, but it's unfortunate that it was tainted by this moment. And kind of the rest of the Oscars were kind of tainted by that moment.
I just flat out think they were both wrong. There was no, there was this weird mentality online that, just people are just picking one to stick behind, and I don't get that. Like they were both in the wrong here. From Chris, what we can learn is, words hurt even if you're joking. Whether he knew that or not, I think it's a little bit beside the point. But like, it's still kind of a personal jab, and it just didn't sit right with Jada, and I can understand that. She has a disease something that causes hair loss, which is pretty personal, and that's the way she reacted. And I get that. But then you have Will Smith that didn't need to do what he did by any stretch of the imagination. There's way, way better ways to handle that. So at the end of the day, they're both wrong. No one was more right, and it's just it's a terrible situation. I don't know how that happens live. The whole thing then after that just kind of felt like his speech when he won, and I agree he deserves that award, but it's weird that he can assault someone and stay in the audience, and not only that, but get up and talk later. And it's weird. It's weird. And there's reports that Chris Rock has declined to press charges, which is also weird because apparently you can have a crime like that take place that's witnessed by millions of people, that's recorded, and it doesn't matter. So it's just the whole thing. I don't know. The whole thing just kind of makes me feel weird, and it's a shame that everything else was, tainted by that, because there's some good stories from last night, and I really want to talk about stuff like Coda, like the Troy Kotsur stuff, because that stuff is really cool, and unfortunately, no one's talking about it because of Will Smith and Chris Rock. So,
To your point of and I think these kind of incidents happen all the time, but we don't see them on camera like for a live audience, and certainly some people, and I didn't think I even said last night, I was like, I bet Chris Rock won't even press
No,
charges. Because
right.
he'll realize that he was kind of out of line with the joke that he made, and it wasn't right what Will did either, but I don't think he's going to press charges. And I get that's your decision. You know, when somebody assaults you like that, you can press charges or not press charges, and that has an effect on
It's just,
what the consequence is.
and I agree. It's just weird that a crime can still take place and then nothing happens, you know, just because of that. So it is the way it
It's very
is.
interesting. I think that one of the things that was tough for me to watch, it was definitely hard to watch Will Smith give that speech, because you could see all the emotion. Not only was there all this emotion about, you know, he's an actor that's been working towards this recognition for a long, long time, and he's been in a lot of great roles. He's one of my favorite actors. He's one of my favorite humans. You know, I really respect him, and I still do even after this, because I know people make mistakes and emotions take over sometimes. But I really saw his struggle in his speech. Because he knew he failed. You know, he knew you know, he feels like he's the kind of person who wants to shine a positive light in the world. He wants to show love to people. He wants to fight for people, for the representation, for other people to be seen. And he just went and made an idiot of himself by doing that. And he knew that in that moment. And I think he deeply regretted what he did almost instantly, realizing the damage that it probably did.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you know, but now that that is out of the way, we can talk about the Oscars and the some of the, you know, the winners and the good news about the Oscars. So I made some predictions before the show, and some of them came true, some of them were wrong. But there's a few I want to talk about. Like, I want to save best picture for last, just because, you know, I think that's the way to go about it. But so I'm going to head down towards the bottom here of my list and look at some of the ones I'd like to talk about. I do want to talk about Dune, and Dune won in several categories. Dune won in best visual effects. You know, I think that it deserved to win in that category. It was going up against No Time to Die, Shang-Chi, Spider-Man: No Way Home. The thing about Dune, though, that I think makes it the winner is that you don't notice the special effects as much. You know, you're so immersed in the world, and it creates such a large scale feeling, such a real big world feeling, that you don't they di the visual effects kind of disappear, which I think is the idea. You know, sometimes with some of these big Marvel movies, even though they have really good visual effects, you can tell they're there. You know, the visual effects are kind of present at times, if that makes sense. So I think that's kind of why Dune had the edge there in that
Sure,
category.
yeah.
Let's talk about some of the other awards Dune won. It won for best film editing. And I kind of had this one between Dune and Tick Tick Boom. I really thought the editing in Tick Tick Boom was great. And I was glad to see it was up for something here, because it wasn't in the best picture conversation, and that movie was actually one of my favorite movies of the year.
Okay.
So while it could have gone for me to Tick Tick Boom, I think once again it went to Dune here. Dune also won for best cinematography. I think that was,
Yeah, that
I don't
makes
think there
sense.
was even a contest there
Right.
in that category. Production design, Dune also won production design. And I thought West Side Story had a chance at this one, to be honest,
Okay.
because the sets were created to kind of almost look like theater sets. And the way they did that, I was very impressed by that. Where it almost felt like theater come to life on film. And I kind of gave it to West Side Story there, but again, I could see Dune winning it, because in terms of just all around, this film was impressive and took so many
Sure.
categories. It also took best sound, which I feel like No Time to Die had some great sound though. I felt like it had some great use of sound in that
Yeah,
movie.
I can agree with that for sure.
And it won for best original score, Hans Zimmer. And I was expecting that because that score, Adam, to me, it almost took on a life of its own. It was a living, breathing thing, that score, and it was very haunting and it created this atmosphere in the movie. I don't know what your thoughts are on that score
Yeah,
compared to the other ones, but
I've only watched it the one time. I have to go back and watch it again.
yeah. So I think that's all for Dune. And let me do a quick count here. I think Dune came home with maybe six awards, at least the ones that we can see here. The visual effects, film editing, that's two. Cinematography, three. Best production design, four. Sound, five. Score, six. Yeah. So the funny thing was, Dune wasn't even in, didn't even have the, Denis Villeneuve didn't, wasn't even up for best director. So that was curious, even though Dune won this many awards.
Right.
Best costume design went to Cruella. That was another,
I
category that
can
I
see
thought
that.
West Side Story might take.
Yeah, there were some really interesting costumes in Cruella. I didn't love the movie overall, but there were some very interesting costume designs in Cruella, so I can see that.
I can definitely see that. Where I thought maybe Dune would get another one here, or even West Side Story, Cruella kind of surprised me. But Brittany, she was like, "What are you talking about, dude? Like, I could have told you that was going to win that because, they had all these fantastic costumes." And
Yeah.
she pays attention to that stuff. When it comes to costume design, I have no idea what I'm talking about. So I have to kind of defer to her on that since she dresses people for a living. So there's that. Best original song. I thought this was interesting because we have Encanto. Doesn't Lin-Manuel Miranda and company, they decide not to put we don't talk about Bruno in there because at
When
the
does this
time
get
I don't
nominated,
maybe they
though?
didn't know.
Yeah, I don't think Bruno had blown up at that point.
You're right.
However,
Yeah, you're right.
Dos Orgullitas is a great song, and it deserves
It's a
the
beautiful song.
nomination also. Honestly, I think it deserves it more than Bruno, even though Bruno is the popularity contest winner. I think Dos Orgullitas is the better song, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, we don't talk about Bruno's definitely more catchy and upbeat and everything, but I was very surprised that No Time to Die got this. But I do think that's a great
It's
song
also a great
and
song.
I feel like and I love it. I think it's fantastic. So I was glad to see No Time to Die at least win something here with it being the last film for in the Daniel Craig era. Some of these like animated short films, short live action short films, short subject, I didn't see any of these. So I can't like say anything about them. You know what I mean? I tried to stick with categories of movies that I really saw. So I'm going to skip over some of those and go to Best Animated Feature, which it was no surprise to me at all that Encanto won, and I
No,
think it
it's not
deserved
for
it.
me. Yeah, I think so too. I actually think Luca is the better movie. Encanto is everywhere right now, and it deserves to be. It's a great movie. It's a great story. I actually think that Luca was a little bit more of a for me, I think it was the better movie. I think it was more meaningful, a little more touching, and it's a different movie for Pixar, and it doesn't really have the catchy music and that type of stuff, but I think it was great. But like you said, Encanto is a great movie, and it definitely deserves the accolades as well, so.
I think it's a beautiful like family story.
Sure, yeah. It's a really
And what
well-told
can
family
happen
story.
within a family.
Absolutely,
I love Luca though as well, and I even really enjoyed Raya and the Last Dragon. So, good for the Disney company here to have, Disney Pixar to have were these all straight Disney or were they Pixar? I don't know.
Luca is
I
Pixar.
can honestly Luca's Pixar. Okay, but good for them and getting 3 out of the 5 nominations in Best Animated Feature. And then let's talk a little bit about. Well, let's save Coda for a minute here, and go to the Actor and Actress Awards. So, Best Supporting Actress was Ariana DeBose. And I could be saying that wrong. West Side Story as Anita. I thought she did a wonderful job. Did you end up watching West Side Story?
No, I'm kind of saving it until I get the basement stuff done so I can hook up this, the new surround sound and all that other stuff. So I'm saving for a few things for that experience. And West Side Story is
Yeah,
one of
I thought, yeah, it was a good movie. And I think she did a nice job here, and she was my choice for Best Supporting Actress. Best Supporting Actor went to Troy, is it Kotsur? Is that how you say that? Kotsur or
I
Kotsur?
usually say
Something.
Kotzer, but I could be very wrong.
And I was really rooting for him. I saw Coda. It was my favorite, like Oscar nominated movie. It was so good. I just thought it was so well done. So I've heard that he also did the sign language for the Tusken Raiders, maybe, is that or something like that? Is that
Yeah,
right?
in Mando, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Yeah.
I think it would have been cool for I don't think they did. I think it would have been cool for Disney to, kind of give him a congrats. They kind of blew their own horn with the things that they won, like everyone does. But it would have been cool for them knowing that
Yeah.
connection to, say, hey, congrats to Troy also. But yeah, he was in he's in Mando. He's the one Tusken Raider that does the hand signing and yeah, so Star Wars connection there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And just good for him. I'm so happy for
Yeah.
this guy. I mean, he delivered a great speech through sign language as well, and it was very moving. And Best Actress went to Jessica Chastain. I really like her. I think she's a great actress. I haven't watched The Eyes of Tammy Faye, but good for her for I really actually I haven't seen any of the films in the best actress category, unfortunately. So I don't have too much to say about that.
Fair enough.
We talked a little
Who
bit
won Best
about
Actor?
Best Actor,
Oh,
Will
okay.
Smith. I've been pulling for him for a long time now. And as soon as I saw King Richard months and months ago, I was like, Will Smith deserves the best actor win at the Oscars for this performance. And I'm glad that he did. I mean, Andrew Garfield was great in Tick, Tick, Boom. But I think Will Smith was deserving here.
Fair enough.
And then winning Best Picture and also winning, we talked about Best Supporting Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, was Coda. And I predicted this one as well. I felt like Coda was just the best all around film, and when you it was just a terrific feel good story, and one that I enjoyed very much, and it made some Oscar history as well. So, but yeah, and unfortunately, it was their win was kind of overshadowed a little bit by the whole Will Smith situation, but I think.
That's a
They
shame for
deserve
everything, yeah, right?
congratulations and yeah, and they deserve congratulations for this. And I absolutely love this movie. I would highly recommend it for anybody who hasn't seen it. One of my favorite movies of the year. So that is your best picture for the 94th Academy Awards, and that wraps it up for this week's show. Adam, get us out of here.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 122 of From a Certain Point of View. Remember to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already. We are on all of those major podcast apps, and if you're on one like Apple Podcasts, let's leave a review. We would really appreciate if you did that. It helps us get out to more and more people and helps us know what you like and what you don't like about our show. We are continuing our Discord watch parties. Believe it or not, Moon Knight is coming out this week, so we'll be rewatching the first episode of Moon Knight on Thursday. We're back to 10 p.m. Eastern now. We had a couple weeks there of doing some Batman movies, which was a lot of fun, and now we're back to watching, rewatching some Disney Plus shows with Moon Knight coming out. So join us Thursday night, 10 p.m. in our Discord server. The link for that is always in the show notes, and it's also on our website, facpov.com. There you'll also find links where you can send us questions, or if you have any show topic ideas, let us know and send those in. And there's also links for our socials there as well. Those are Instagram and Twitter, both at CertainPOVPod. Facebook page is From a Certain Point of View. Our email address is CertainPOVPod@gmail.com. And if you would like to send us a voicemail, we would love to play those on the show. You can dial in at 724-901-1783. Once again, that's 724-901-1783. Remember, we are part of the Red 5 Network. You can find all of the great Red 5 Network shows at red5network.com and on Twitter at Red 5 Network. You can find me on the internet at TheGauze85 on Twitter and Instagram, and you can also find my Disney blog, yearsgoneby.blog. Josh, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JediJarJar1722. I would tell you where to find me on Instagram, but I don't remember what my Instagram handle is, so I'll Perfect. Work on that in the future. You can find my YouTube channel, Live God's Truth, if you are interested in a Christian perspective on current events that are going on in our world. I'd really appreciate it if you checked it out and subscribed. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, From a Certain Point of View. That wraps it up for this week's show. We are so thankful that you checked us out this week, and in future weeks, everything we said today was true.
From a Certain Point of View.